You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
It's 4 minutes after the hour at 10 o'clock in Ukraine, nighttime, and two different stories are breaking. One, according to a live update, Russia is moving reinforcements into Ukraine from Georgia. No, not the state, the country. I know you know better. That's what one U.S. defense official says. And that's on the front page of CNN's webpage. But at the same time, at the very top, big print, Russian ground forces stop moving toward Kyiv, the U.S. says. Well, I don't know who to believe. They're both on CNN. They may both be true. Ukraine's military does claim that Russian cruise missiles were striking the Ukrainian Air Force Command Center. That came in about 30 minutes ago. And just about an hour ago, another theater was bombed in Mariupol. And they are estimating some 600 people survived, but 300 or more were killed. Now, of course, they were not holding performances there. They were using it as a place to shelter people. All of them were trying to get out of Mariupol, that port city on the Black Sea where naval forces from Russia have been gathering. And also Ukraine releasing more pictures of a ship they say that they hit, caught fire, blew up. Clearly there's a ship on fire. Who's responsible? If it's sabotaged by the Russians on board, which it could be, because a lot of them don't want to be there, or if it's an accident on board, or if, in fact, it was hit by Ukraine forces. There's no doubt Ukraine forces had proved to be a tougher enemy than Russia was expecting. And the so-called Russian premier military is not so premier from what we've seen. And that's good. That's good. President Biden, in a briefing in Warsaw, Poland, saying, oh, part of my disappointment is I can't see firsthand like I have in other places. They will not let me cross the border and take a look at what's going on in Ukraine. Well, he went to Poland to see the humanitarian crisis firsthand, and he's seeing some of the millions that have come across already with whatever they could get in their hands and on their back to leave Ukraine as the Russian forces invaded. But Biden's making it clear that I'd go into Ukraine if they'd let me, but obviously they're not going to. You don't want our president in Ukraine. I don't want anything to happen to him in Ukraine. And the White House has decided, not only because of that remark, but what Biden had said in a news conference yesterday when he was asked, what will the U.S. do if Russia starts using chemical weapons, maybe even nuclear weapons? And Biden's response is basically tit for tat. He didn't say it that way. He said it will trigger a response from us. He didn't want to get into details, which I understand, but he said it would trigger a response in kind and that NATO members have already agreed to do so. Well, now today the White House thought we better back up that statement a little bit better and insisting the U.S. does not plan to deploy any boots on the ground to Ukraine. Not going to do it. Biden's been visiting U.S. service members, the 82nd Airborne Division in Poland, members of it, and praising them for being there. And I'm glad he's giving them the attention. But he also talked about how the average Ukrainian citizens have been stepping up. So that's good. Ukrainian citizens have taken this war right back to the Russians. And now comes word that Turkey is taking center stage to end this deadly war. That's right, Turkey. President Erdogan is apparently saying that he is talking to Putin and broke down the demands that Putin wants and thinks there's some that are achievable. The Ukrainian foreign minister pushing back, saying, no, I don't see anything there that will help at this point. This is the fog of war from a distance. Imagine how confusing it would be to be on the ground and you're not getting any communication whatsoever. Frightening, isn't it? Stand by for the parent who tells the school board, are you kidding me?
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Georgia obscenity law, it's a crime to distribute obscene materials to children. However, there's a loophole in it. If it's in a school library, it's acceptable in the name of education. I also know you all have the choice on how to implement that law. If anyone in this room gave one of these books that she's talking about to a child, you would go to prison. Why are you then putting them in our libraries? I emailed you all some examples of these books, and your emails actually bounced back because the content was so vulgar. I can't send it to you, but you can then give it to my children.
That is a Georgia parent addressing the Georgia School Board, the Cherokee County Board of Trustees, because she's upset with some of the books that are in their child's high school, and not just available to read, but on a required reading list. And she said, I was trying to send some information to you, and they got bumped back because apparently it was too sensitive for big tech to let me put that on, but you can give it to our children. Listen, this is not the CRT issue, but it reflects exactly what's been going on with our schools when you're not watching. Progressives have gradually made their way into different school districts. And who really pays attention to a school board election anymore? Well, let me rephrase that. Before all of this, who really paid attention to school board elections? Unless you were the one running. Years ago, and I'm talking about 30-plus years ago, when I was only 5 years old, well, maybe a little longer, good member of our church, a friend of ours, she ran for a school board, and she did an excellent job of helping that school make sure that the children were getting appropriate teaching. This is long before CRT. This is long before you'd allow some books like they are now having in this Georgia school district in the Cherokee County School Board and allowing it to not only be presented, but make it on a required reading list. Now, this was a woman with strong convictions, Christian. She didn't push her Christian convictions upon the school nor the students, but she's raising her children that way. And so they, in turn, would tell her if they saw something that was kind of maybe pushing a secular approach to things, and the attitude being from her that if you're going to push secular, then you should also push Christian or others, or just don't do all of it. Just don't try to indoctrinate. Simply educate. That's why we send our kids to school, be they public or private. Now, once it comes to college, if you want to spend all those thousands and thousands of dollars of money for your child to go get further indoctrinated or newly indoctrinated, so be it. That's your choice. And yes, at a certain age level, some of this material might not be acceptable, but they're of age to read it, understand it, and dispute it if they want, if they dare, sometimes. But if you're not watching, you don't check closely, some of these books get slipped in and put up on the library shelf, not just of high school, not just junior high, but grade school. And in some cases, illustrated cartoon-type books with the same type of message for K students. Is this what you want? I know you don't. And, of course, if you have a complaint about it, what do you do? What do you have to do to get it resolved, to get the book out of the library, or at least to an age-appropriate level only? I've related the story before, and I'll do it again just for the sake of those who haven't heard it, and for the rest of you, just bear with me. In high school, there were a couple of books that you could not have unless you had a parent's permission and or a teacher's permission to read. They were in the library, but they wouldn't let just any student have it. I got permission to read one of them, not because I'm so smart or that I was so mature, but apparently the teachers believed that I could understand it enough and I would not be getting indoctrinated. I just wanted to expand my knowledge. That's what I was after. One of them you know very well, at least by title, Catcher in the Rye by Salinger. That was not being allowed in our school to be read by the general student body. Of course, my curiosity also came home, and I mean literally home, when I decided I want to learn more about Russia and what they say, and I put in you had to order then to get it out of New York because it wasn't being carried in the town where I lived. And so then it comes in the mail, and there's an address in New York where you could ask for it. I guess it was being delivered in New York, and then they would in turn mail it to me. Pravda, the communist propaganda newspaper. Now, again, I wasn't looking to become a communist. I just wanted to learn more about them and their view and their take on things. But it's delivered to our house by the mailman. And when my dad came home and saw that, well, it might be called child abuse nowadays, but at that time it was a severe whipping. Wait, he did not give me a whipping. He threatened that if I ever did it again, he would. And he started telling me, you have no idea the damage you caused his family. I knew nothing about McCarthyism, what they'd been doing then, but he had to worry about his job. He thought, if the mailman spreads the word that we're getting communist propaganda here. So he made a point to be home the next day. The mailman came and said, do not ever let something like that come to this house again. And that put a stop to it. But what about the books in your child's school? Well, as it turns out, in Cherokee County School District, where this mother is complaining about the books that she says contain material that are inappropriate, explicit remarks about sexual encounters, like in one book called The Homecoming. much less some of the other indoctrination books that were available. Here's how the process works. She listed for the board, said, are you even aware of what it takes to get a book out of this library if a parent has an objection?
Step one, get over the shock of your child reading some of these things in your books that say, I can't actually say them, but it's literally the worst vulgar words that you could think of. Even see you next Tuesday is in there. Step two, contact the principal. Step three, complete a long form giving exact details of what you find in this disturbing book. Step four, you send it to the appeals group. Step five, it's a three-week review process. The current wait time is November. Step six, the book is pulled from the libraries to review. If it's in the holding line until November, it stays there for all the other kids to read. Step seven, yes, they do use our tax money to buy a copy of the book for each of the 20 people on the committee. Step eight, if one person in the committee thinks that it should stay, it does. Like the one child that's on the appeals committee who said the book Homegoing must stay because it's on their AP required reading list.
It's on the required reading list. Now, IP are classes, of course, for kids who are taking college-level courses. All right, keep it in college. Don't put it into the high school. There's nothing that's going to change that child on the grade by reading it now compared to once they're in college. But all those things you had to go through, and it may still be there, if just one board member says, it's okay, let's keep it. So she's got their attention, obviously. And these school board meetings are being viewed. They're being presented via local cable for folks who want to watch and see what's going on, but they don't have time or can't get there. They just want to stay in touch. So at one point of the meeting, the parent says, I want to read some of this book, some excerpts from it. Boy, did it hit the fan then.
Here's an excerpt, and I'm going to really try to be careful so I don't get kicked out. Excited now, he pushed into her. As she squeezed her eyes in tightly as she could, her tongue circled her lips. He pushed harder, his breath heavy and labored. She scratched his back, and he cried out. She bit his ear and pulled his hair. There's a lot more to it.
Yes, you are right. Evening.
Yes.
We have children at home.
I know you are
training, and it's really not a
problem. Don't you find the irony in that? You're exactly saying exactly what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children.
The parents is right on point. I doubt any children were home watching the school board meeting. But nevertheless, this one school board member, excuse me, those things you're saying about how he pushed into her and pushed harder. We have children at home. And do you not get the irony of what you just said? And yet you've got it here in the library and you're giving it to our kids? This is how far out of step progressives have gotten. And they think it's all okay if they can control it. But here's a parent saying, I want this out of the, and here's why I want it out. Here's what's in the book. Oh, excuse me, that's just, you can't do that. Well, I kind of cut into the board member complaining a little bit. I want to go back and we'll just pick up as the board member continues complaining and the reaction.
We have children at home.
I know you are
training, and it's really not a
problem. Don't you find the irony in that? You're exactly saying exactly what I'm telling you. You're giving it to our children.
Okay,
all
right.
Children
is out of order.
Thank you. I think we have gotten the gist of your information that you wanted to share with us this evening.
So you're cutting me off?
So you have the last 30 seconds.
That's
our attorney has said
That's
out of order.
Right. I suggest that nobody submits any more books. Not our job. It's your job to be getting these books. all this happened under your watch. Maybe you spent more time reading these books instead of calculating the statistical demographics of those studies, submitting the books. We wouldn't be grooming our children. You're saying that we're embarrassing you. You're embarrassing us and our kids. It's not okay. You are supposed to be giving them a safe space in school. These books, if I can't email them to you and I can't say them, they should be in
your time is up, Ms. Brown.
You know that.
But she made her point, and I'm glad. Bravo for her. By the way, the book Homecoming that she's referring to, written by Yai Gyasi or something like that, that's described as a, quote, an extraordinary novel illuminating slavery's troubled legacy, both for those who were taken and those who stayed. That's according to Barnes & Noble. Not appropriate reading in high school, and certainly not, even if it's on the AP list, then they can wait and get to college. There are other AP courses they can take if they want to get some college courses out of the way. I have to admit, in the past, when my children were at school, we sent them first to a Christian school, so I knew what values were being taught. But when we did put them into public school, I did not watch closely the school board members nor the material. I am guilty of that. But also I want to tell you what our government and the rest of the nation, not just ours but others, are guilty in dealing with our children.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, as I was saying earlier, when my children were children, we began by sending them in the earliest grades to a church school sponsored by a church, and then later moved them into the public school system, a very good public system where we lived, and rated high in the state. I was not watching who the board members were and didn't. I don't recall casting any ballots at any point on school board election. I may have, but just don't recall. But nothing stands out. And then my oldest went all the way through the public school system. My youngest in the eighth grade decided she wanted to go back to more Christian-based, so she ended up going to a local school that took her all the way through graduation. I'm very proud of the way they've turned out. I give all the glory to God because I know I probably failed many times as a parent. But I look at parents now and what they're trying to deal with, not just in teaching in school, but dealing with, do I get my shot of vaccine, am I child a vaccine or not, of these untested, still experimental vaccines? And then how much have our children suffered because of the COVID lockdowns? The executive director of the Americans for Public Trust said the CDC allowed teachers' unions to write the guidance on school openings, and now we're learning the CDC is not publishing large portions of the COVID data it collects. Now, that's correct. The Biden administration did not have any data on students' learning loss when the CDC issued its COVID-19 school reopening guidance. That's according to some internal emails. They also have an email showing Dr. Fake flagging an article citing scientific studies disputing the need for students to stay 6 feet apart. And he noted that that rule seemed to be based on decades-old research. The CDC had admitted, well, we just came up with that number. Apparently they were looking at old data to do it. And we still don't know, and not getting anything from this administration, on how our children have been affected by the lockdowns. But I will tell you this, UNESCO, the United Nations Education, Scientific, Cultural Organization, along with UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, in a report by the World Bank, and again, a lot of these agencies can often be socialist, Marxist, communist related. But in this case, I'm just looking at what they found about children being forced to learn at home, especially those who disadvantaged ability. And as the virus was spreading in 2020, there were only a few countries, Taiwan, Nicaragua, Sweden, that did not close their schools. But by April, 1.5 billion children worldwide were forced to stay home, regular education disrupted. And it turns out, according to the scientists, it didn't take long for the scientists to learn that children are much less likely than adults to be harmed by COVID-19. We were told that over and over again. We were told that. But they still insisted on closing down the schools. Well, now there's a study regarding remote learning from home that UNESCO and the others had done. They find out that we have caused a lot of damage to our children. In one area, they learned only 28% of what they would have learned face-to-face classes. Now, this is Brazil, so understand they are already facing difficulty. But now you just reduce them to only 28% learning ability. Same research among racial groups finds 48% of black students far behind, 43% of Hispanic students first grade far behind, 27% of white students. This did everything to damage our children, and we're going to pay for it for a long time to come. Maybe they will learn how to define the word woman. Oh yeah, we're going back to that story. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about.
That is Senator Marsha Blackburn during the hearings for Judge Jackson to be on the Supreme Court. Oh, yeah, I'm going to play that interview many, many, many times to come. Because here is a supposedly well-educated woman, obviously has a law degree, has served as a federal judge. She went to Harvard, but she cannot give you a definition of a woman. And she slips and slides and ducks and avoids and saying, well, you know, I deal with cases that come in from me. Just answer that. There are only two other questions I wish Senator Blackburn had asked. One is, after she can't describe what a woman is, one would be, well, Judge Jackson, are you a woman? Now, I would have liked to heard that response, because at least 14 times during the hearings, Judge Harris used the term woman. And she also had pointed out in her opening statement that she was glad to be appointed this and that she got chosen by Joe Biden, because He was looking for a qualified black woman, so she used that phrase in as well. But then she gets, and oh, the second question, that was after you can't define a woman? All right, well then, are you a woman? I want to hear that answer. But remember, she also said, I can't describe and define a woman because I'm not a biologist. Now, I'm not second-guessing what Senator Blackburn was asking. I think she did an excellent job. But of course, we all, in reflecting on something, think of something else. So I think I might have also asked, well, then, can you tell me what 2 plus 2 is? And if she answered, well, then if she answered 4 or even 6, I don't care, whatever her answer was, I would ask her, are you a mathematician? Could I assume that's math, and you have to be a mathematician to come up with that answer, wouldn't you? Her lame excuse that I'm not a biologist. Most of you listening, I am willing to put good, hard-earned money down in a pot and say, you're not a biologist. Whoops, I better be careful which ones I do that bet with. Because some of you might well be, and a few rocket scientists as well. But aside from that, now she is getting support from state-controlled media. We got to find a way to defend this because they know how embarrassing that was. So what can we do about it? USA Today published a piece. It is not a news story. It's an essay. Now, I don't know if you had to be an English professor to understand the difference between a news story and an essay, but I think you know that an essay is basically all opinion of what you want to say. You may or may not include facts. You may or may not distort facts. It's an essay. So to help give cover for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who cannot even define the word woman, much less being able to define life because she couldn't answer that question either when asked by Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. USA Today published this essay written by one of their reporters. Yeah, he is a reporter, but he also wrote this essay and said, science says there's no simple answer. In fact, he claimed experts in science lack, quote, a sufficient way to clearly define, end quote, what a woman is. Really? Really? Oh, just follow along. Follow the trail to the Golden Brick Road down to the man behind the curtain who nobody, we all know, is Biden, and he's not sure where he is. Anyway, the author of this essay goes on to say, scientists, gender law scholars, whoop, there you go right there. Once you start down gender law, anything is good. You can make anything happen. Scientists, gender law scholars, and philosophers of biology said Jackson's response was commendable, though perhaps misleading. And the author writes, they, those who just quoted, say it's useful that Jackson suggested science could help answer Blackburn's question, but they also noted that a competent biologist would not be able to offer a definitive answer either. How in the hell do you come? How do? You don't know the difference between a male and a female, and you want to call yourself a biologist? Oh, the article, I'm not done yet. The essay continues saying, scientists agree there is no sufficient way to clearly define what makes someone a woman. And with billions of women on the planet, there is much variation. Well, that I know. I know that. And there are billions of different women shapes. I know that. Just as there are male shapes. I know all of that. But then the essay quotes a Rebecca Jordan Young, a self-described feminist scientist, at Barnard College. I have no idea where Barnard College is. I'm going to admit my stupidity here. I'm going to do that thing that we can now do nowadays that we never could do in the past, that I'd have to go to a library and look it up if I could get past the explicit writings of sex in some books. Barnard College, oh, no surprise, New York City. It's a part of Columbia University, a private women's liberal arts college. Well, wait a minute. Wait. It identifies itself as a private women's liberal arts college. Well, how do they know it's for women? They don't even know what a woman is. All right, anyway, this person is also at Barnard College. She describes herself as a feminist scientist. Listen, this is funny, and yet at the same time, it's not. And as a feminist scientist, she said, I focus on gender, sexuality, class, and race. And said, it's complex defining a woman. There isn't one single biological answer to the definition of a woman. There's not even a singular biological answer to the question of what is a female. This is, of course, after the Supreme Court issued Title IX, making it illegal more than 50 years ago to deny women the right to participate in sports. I mean, that got after colleges. If they were not going to offer equal opportunity for women to be in sports, then they were not going to get any federal dollars. So they could identify it then. They could also identify it through the feminist movement of Gloria Steinem and others. I am woman, hear me roar. Well, maybe I'm not woman, hear me squeak. But this essay, of course, has to get into that, as our expert, or one of them, identified in the article. Because if you try to do it by chromosomes, said lots of people who are assigned male at birth have higher testosterone levels. Yeah, they do, and it's what makes man and woman. But just physically, you can't look at someone physically and say it is very, very simple. It is as simple as this, and these are clinical terms. The male has a penis. The female has a vagina. The female has lactating breasts. The male does not. So can you tell me the difference between a male dog and a female dog? Can you tell me the difference between a cow and a bull? Well, let me help you out. Try to milk the bull and see what happens. Not going to go good for you. The stupidity of folks who supposedly claim they're smarter than you. Oh, and then what happened to Leah Thomas? Stand by, please. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
She's going to first hit the pool this morning at 10 o'clock. That's the 500-yard freestyle. The prelim finals are tonight. She's favored to win the 500 and the 200-yard freestyle. She's also swimming in the 100-yard freestyle. She's got a shot there. But in addition to watching for her winning those races, Hoda, we're also watching for the potential. She is within striking distance of the long-held collegiate records by Missy Franklin and Katie Ledecky. So, of course, we're going to be watching to see if she touches those records during this weekend, too.
Yeah, we're anxiously awaiting. That's an NBC report talking about a swim meet where Leah Thomas was performing and talking about the records she might be breaking. They are held by women. Women. Leah Thomas, of course, the transgender swimmer, has been the center of the NCAA Women's Championship because she was allowed to compete against females under NCAA rules. Many of the women competing, trying to make it clear, look, we're not upset with Leah. And to swim, she still had to put in the time and the effort and the work. And so we understand that. We support her swimming career and whatever she wants to do with her life. And she's abiding by the rules that the NCAA put in place. And that's the issue. They say they need to change it because, as one of them said, who just lost a race to her, it's like the NCAA is trying to back transgenders more than 90 to 95% of the rest of the swimmers. And we're all kind of bummed out and affected by the rules put in place for her to swim, her and others like her, her who was a boy. Does that sound fair to you? Let's just ask a simple question. Does that sound fair? Somebody sent me a funny thing the other day, and I passed on to some friends. It shows a bunch of bicyclists struggling to get up this hill. I mean, could it be something like, not quite the Tour de France, but it's they were struggling to get up the hill, but leading the pack was one of my kind of guys on a Harley. And he said, I identify as a bicyclist. I love it. You can't cut him out. He's a bicyclist also, only he's running a Harley. Which reminds me, by the way, of something else someone sent me because of this thing we were talking about the last segment, that Judge Jackson can't define what is a woman. And then I was reading a piece from USA Today. If you missed that, you got to pull up the podcast and share with others. Please share with others, because they'll get a laugh out of it as well. But anyway, the USA columnist writing an essay and quoting someone is saying, well, it's hard for biologists to even identify what's a woman. So there's a picture of a woman in labor, and the doctor's just delivered the baby and got the baby in his hands, and the doctor happens to be male. I'm judging by the looks. I don't know anything below the pants. I can see it appears to be. But the one on the labor bed is obviously a woman. She gave birth through a birth canal. And she's asking, what is it, doctor? What is it? And he said, looking at it, fully naked, I don't know. Because you're not allowed to say it's a boy or girl at that point. And, you know, we got some Hollywood idiots out there who have not named their children because they won't let them get to be 16 before they decide, do we name them a boy or girl? These are cartoon times, but some people are paying some heavy prices. And this particular thing referenced Leah Thomas in the NCAA Women's Championship. There was a 200 freestyle final act. And whether or not she kind of backed down because she thought, if I win everything, well, then there's going to be even more noise about me being transgender and not fair. So she ended up tying fifth with a senior from Kentucky. But when it came to the fifth place podium, they only had one trophy. Well, it was a tie. An NCAA representative told the girl from Kentucky, the senior, I just want you to know we only have one fifth place trophy. Yours will be coming in the mail. We're going to give it to Leah, but you can pose on the podium with the sixth place trophy. And, of course, the Kentucky senior said it's disheartening. I left the pool with no trophy. And they wanted a picture of Leah with the trophy. That's what it was all about. By the way, a photojournalist who took some images is upset with NBC. She said, I took effort to make a good, legitimate picture, and then I realized NBC, when they aired it, they had airbrushed part of it and making her look softer, making Leah look more feminine. Said, there's a clear difference between the pictures. But who cares nowadays, right? Hey, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.